so filled, you know, to teach you guys this lesson. We're at a place in 2 Samuel where David's a mess. King David's a mess. And his family is absolutely in disunity. And it made me think a lot about you guys. It made me think a lot about the student ministry in general. And how sometimes student ministry gets so disunified. You know, and I want you guys to understand a study on it. I want you to go through a study on unity. Because I want you to see where disunity comes from. And really God's heart behind unity. Now, if you look above me, you'll see a psalm. Psalm 133, I think it is. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Is that cool? Dwell together as a unit. Not separated. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 says that there should be no schism in the body. Now, what's schism? What's a schism? A separation, a gap, right? There should be no separation in the body. Now, this church has, in a sense, a large body. We have the adults over there, but you guys are a body, okay? Within a body, in a sense. And God's desire is that there not be any separation within this body at all, that you guys are friends and you guys love upon one another and things like that. It says that the members of the body should have the same care for one another. So God's desire, biblically speaking, is that within His church, there should be no division within that body, and that you guys should have the same care for one another. Not more care for one another than another, but that there should be a same type of caring for each person. Okay? Now, when this doesn't happen, things happen. In King David's life, because there wasn't much unity, there wasn't much peace in his home. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday, exactly what happens. And it's insane. I mean, it's one of those, again, insane parts of the Bible we're at where you're going to read and it's going to be a mess and it's filled with lust and blah, 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 and all kinds of problems. And yes, I'm on the area with Tamar. Isn't that crazy? So I'm certainly going to listen to that message. Yeah, for sure. If you can flip the... I think you can click the thing, just the page, or you can... Yeah, there you go. Now, God... I want you to understand unity biblically, okay? So God is a unity. Okay, the Hebrew word for one in your Bible, one... There's a couple birds, a couple words, not birds. But one of them is echad. It's a compound unity word. Okay? The Lord your God is one. That's in Deuteronomy 6:4, by the way. But it's the word one there is echad. It's a Hebrew word that carries the idea of a compound unity. There is one group in this room. One. But the idea behind one is not just one individual, right? It's one of a compound unity. You're many, but you're one. That's the idea behind that word, God is one. It's not a singular word. If in Hebrew you could have used many different words for one that just meant one singular. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the word that was used is this word, echad. Now the word is also used when it talks about a man and a woman becoming one flesh. Now, I don't have to get into the birds and the bees, right, with you guys to tell you what that is. Huh, Zach, that's serious. That's right. You guys know that's a serious deal. When the two shall become one flesh, that is not two of the one flesh in the brain. That doesn't mean you're like, that doesn't mean that, oh, I'm one with my wife and mentally. You know, mentally. That's not what that means. Whoever made that up, I have no clue. It doesn't mean that I'm one with her in, like, spirit one. Like, you know, we're spiritually one. Is that true? No. The Bible says that your wife will be judged and your husband, the husband, will be judged. Man is destined to live once, die, and then the judgment. I'm not going to face God with my wife before Jesus, when Sylvia dies, she's going to face the Lord. When I die, I'm going to face the Lord. So it's not one spiritually, even though it's taught like that at a marriage conference, and I just want you to just wipe that out of your brain right now. Okay? Okay? It's not that at all. The two shall one flesh means what? Bam! That's right. That's what the two shall become. That's how you have kids, man. The two become literally one. Most intimate relationship you could ever have on the planet, okay, is that. That's why it's not to be distorted and jacked. Because when you jack something that's fragile and intimate, then you yourself get jacked. The two shall become one flesh. Now, is me and Sylvia two? Are we two people?
Yeah.
But are we one flesh? Yeah. The word akkad's used. Just for you guys, other Bible guys, the Tower of Babel. Do you guys remember that time where they were all gathered around? It's one group of people, the idea of akkad, the word akkad's used in that story. So the word akkad means it's a compound unity. So God, check this out, God is a unity. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, who's the Word? Jesus. He's the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. You want to know what God's like? So many people go, man, I wish if God was real, why didn't He show Himself? Stupid question. No. I used to ask it all the time. You know, when I wasn't a Christian, I used to ask that. Dude, if God's real, why didn't He show Himself? The answer is, you know, one day He did. But did people dig it? No. They didn't dig it. The Word is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. When you were kids and you were in Bible school with Miss Karen or whoever you were with, and you guys, you know, baptizing them, sang songs, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is that? Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Right? You guys are all getting into it, right? Come on, let's do it, Zach. Let's do it. No, I'm just joking. Come on, let's do the signs. Okay, forget it. Anyway, see, some of them remember it. See, some of them know it, you know. But when you think of that, you know, the idea of the Great Commission, Jesus says, baptize, go. I want my followers to go and immerse people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But have you ever noticed there's a compound unity being described there? The name. It doesn't say what? In the names. It says in the name. In the name of the singular one God, name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is one, and we see He is revealed as the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God, one God and Father of all, and through all and in you all, speaking to Christians. Notice the unity within the church and within God. God is a unity. So if God is a unity, we should what? Be a what? Okay, and that's important. I want you guys to grab this. The reason that we unity is so important to God is because it reflects His glory, meaning it reflects who He is. So when you have disunity, you distort who? God. To a world which is supposed to know the unity of God by the unity within the what? The body. Okay, you guys grabbing this? Okay, so when there's disunity in the body, then we can only from that point, from that standpoint, we can only distort God. Okay? Isn't that sad? So when there's disunity, we can only distort. Now, the serious about this topic is that a lot of you guys have breeded disunity over the years. Some of you knowingly, some of you not knowingly. And some of the damage that has been done within our body is because of that. Now, that should be grievous. in our hearts. That should be something that hits your heart heavy, like, man, the way I act in disunity affects other people, and it also distorts God. So no matter how much I talk about God, check this out, no matter how much you talk about God, how much you go to church, how much you worship, how much all that, if you breed, if you birth disunity, God is not glorified. You can do your religious deal all you want, but you don't fake God out. You can't. See, God is concerned about His glory. Isn't that heavy? It burdens me, it bums me out to know that even me has caused disunity in the body at times. And that saddens the heart of me. Let's go to the next slide. Jesus' heart for us. Have you guys ever read John 17? It's a really cool passage because it's really the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in your Bible. You know, when Jesus taught you guys to pray like Sam, if Jesus were hanging out with you and He said, I'm going to teach you to pray, Sam. Our Father, who art in heaven. You know that whole thing, right? Yeah. But how long does it take? Like whopping, what? I don't know. 30 seconds? You know, to say that? That's what He taught. That's what He said. You know? So Jesus didn't teach us to pray like these long prayers. You know? Because the pagan world was like that. My ancestors prayed over and over and over and over, just blah, 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 repetitive. And Jesus said, dude, God's not stupid. God is not dumb. He's not in heaven, like going and drooling and not understanding a word you're talking about. He's aware of everything, even things you have need of before you even ask it. So Jesus taught us to pray in a very short, concise way. But John 17 is actually a recorded prayer of Jesus. And it's very cool. It's the whole chapter. Now this part says Jesus prays for, or the title we have is Jesus prays for all believers. I do not pray for these alone, meaning His disciples, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Now, so Jesus is praying at this point for who? For you guys. Okay, this is Jesus' actually recorded prayer for all of His church, that all the people that will come to know Him. It's the only prayer we have of Jesus that is for you specifically. So if you want to know what Jesus would say to you, this is it. This is what He prays, verse 21, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. That they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Okay, so just as Jesus is in unity with the Father as the Son of God, so the prayer is that we as the followers would be in unity with the Son. And we would be in unity with the Father, and we would be in unity together. So that the world may believe that You sent Me. Isn't that cool? It's so that the world would look at us and go, man, dude, there's something different about that crew. See, everybody's house, there's a lot of what? Separation, right? I kind of found that out when I was probably around 8 years old. You know what I mean? That separation was kind of part of my family. A lot of violence in the house, a lot of anger. Things like that. And it caused, obviously, a divorce when I was around that age. So the world has a lot of separation in it. And families have a lot of separation in it. Right? But the Christian body should not be like that. There shouldn't be divisions within the body and disunity. Okay? So that the world sees us as different. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them. That they may be one just as We are one. I in them, You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect in unity. Isn't that cool? Unity completes us because we become more like who? God. And God is what? Is He complete? That's right. See, the only way we can be complete is to be kind of like who? God. That's right. And that the world may know that you have sent me. Again, the stress is on that the world may know. Right? So if you have a heart for people, check this out. If you have a heart for the lost, you're going to want what in student ministry? If you have a heart for the lost. What? Unity. If you have a heart for the lost, you'll want to be united. But if you're selfish and you don't have a heart for the lost, then you'll breed disunity. You know what I mean? That's how it works. Let's go to the next one. So disunity happens. It can happen. It does happen when our hearts aren't on reaching the lost. You know, how many of you guys' hearts are on reaching the lost? How many of you guys really think about lost people? It's so sad how many people just don't think about that, huh? Some of you are so sheltered that you wouldn't know how to behave if you were with lost people. People who don't know Christ. Some of you are in the public arena, and you know what it's like to be around a lot of people that don't share the same views of you. And you know how to engage, and you learn how to engage those people. Now, that means a lot to me because, again, I was a, you know, I went to public school. I was a secular guy. And someone had to share with me at some point. I'm glad for those Christians that went to public school. I praise God for those dudes. And I praise God for parents that let their kids go to secular schools to reach out, man. I remember asking Dave Guzik, you know, I said, Dave, hey, do you put your kids in private school? Because the private school was getting really popular, you know, 20 years ago. And Dave goes, uh-uh. And I'm like, no. And he goes, no, why would I do that? I'm like, well, you know, give him a good Christian education. And it was kind of funny the way he said it to me. He goes, no, dude, it says let your light so shine, bro. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, oh. Now, some parents, like me and Sylvia, very much feel comfortable in a world school or in the world. That's how we are. Some parents don't, and that's okay. Some parents feel much more comfortable having their kids in a private area. But if they have their kids, whether in a secular school or in a private school or homeschooled or however that works, you must be able to breathe in your kid and give life in your child the idea that there are lost people in the world that need to rub alongside of you and feel Jesus. Feel Him. They won't know what He's like if they don't rub up against you. Do you think they're just going to know if you just pass by and go, hey, Jesus loves you, okay, later? That's how they're going to find out about Jesus? Or is it going to be something where you're going to rub on those people? You know what I mean? You're going to rub on them a little bit. I don't mean really rub on them. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's like just have that closer kind of relationship with people. So you might be in a public school, Sam. You're at Tucson High. You might be there. You might have some people that, some friends that don't know Christ. But you do. And you're rubbing up alongside of those people. And if you're doing it right, before you know it, they're going to kind of wonder a little bit about some of your decisions in life. And they're going to wonder about some of your thoughts and the way you talk and the things maybe you think or listen to or watch. Things like that. And they're going to ask you a question. And the door is going to open. And it's hard to have that attitude. It's hard to have a disunity attitude within the church when your heart is so much on reaching people and so much wanting to help people out, you know, and share with them. It's hard to share Christ and be concerned about people who don't know God and then on the next, and then turn away and go, oh man, that person sucks. You know what I mean? It's hard to walk in disunity when your heart is for reaching out. But when we're not reaching out, that's my point, when we're not rubbing along people and letting people feel Jesus in us, then we become kind of this ingrown toenail that starts kind of, you know, cutting into the old side of the skin. You know, and we're kind of like, that's our job now, is we just start cutting into everybody. Yeah, that's right. And it hurts. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. In the New Testament, it teaches that we are all one in Christ. All of us are one in Jesus, man. We're all one in Jesus. No one's better than the other. I'm the same as you guys. No different. When I get before the Lord, we're all going to be judged the same. All of us. No one's going to be judged differently. It's all going to be based on the righteousness of Jesus. Are you as good as Jesus? That's going to be the judgment. Are you as good as Jesus? And my answer is going to be no. That's right. My answer is going to be no. And I'm going to claim, obviously, the blood of Christ for my salvation. That's all I can lean on, is the blood of Christ. But we're all going to be judged based on that, the righteousness of Jesus. Galatians 3:27-28 says, "For as many as you as were immersed into Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Isn't that cool? You guys are all one. So from that passage, we know that all of us that hold to our faith in Jesus, none of us are better than the other. No one's greater than the other, neither by race, even though race is just a fallacy term. I shouldn't even use that term because it's a fallacy. There's no such thing as race. But what color of skin, let me say it that way. Economic background. Can we think of any others? Just gender. You know, no one's greater than the other. Isn't that cool? So none of us are greater. So if I talk bad about one of you guys, it's not really that good, because I'm in the same what? I'm in the kind of the same ship. You know what I mean? We're of the same, you know, before God. You know, are you perfect before God? Are you as perfect as Jesus? Okay, I'm not either. I'm not either, man. So why would I want to like bag on you when, man, I'm kind of in the same ship. You know? Does that make sense? That's a cool noise.
Sorry.
That's okay. I like it. 1 Corinthians 12:20. "But now indeed there are many members," you guys are all many members, "yet one body. Jesus is the head." So we see that, right? All of us are one in Christ. So we can't really talk about each other, right? Because we're all one of the same body. And so we all are one with Christ, okay? So let's go on to the next one. So hopefully you guys understanding this stuff? You guys understand it? You guys getting it over here? Are you getting it? Kind of, yeah? God's unity. Got that? God's unity. His body should be what? Unified, right? Because that's how the world's going to know, right? That's how the world is going to see the unity of God. It's maybe people don't know God because maybe the church doesn't walk in unity. Unity means, now this is where it gets sticky on us, guys. Unity means dealing with our personal sins of anger. This is just a list I wrote down. Bitterness, envy, jealousies, lust, hatred, which shows itself in gossip, being a busybody. You guys know what a busybody is. It's kind of an old word. But what's a busybody? Okay, it's not just someone who's constantly moving, but that's good. I like the word constantly, but what's another idea of busybody? Someone who's constantly what?
In other people's business.
In other people's business. Oh, man. Dude, you know, did you hear about, you know, I was talking to this dude the other day, and he was telling me about da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I had a meeting the other day, and it was with Eliana, and Eliana was telling me da da da. I was talking to Aaron the other day, and Aaron said da da da. Hey, when I was with Peter the other day, Peter said blah 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 blah. Ooh, man. Oh, it's gossip too. Gossip's more like, hey, did you hear about this person? You know, did you hear about Bo? He's crazy in the head. I didn't put this down, but just so you guys understand how crazy this gets. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in the Bible. The accuser of the brethren. The idea of accuser is the idea of slanderer. It says in the book of Timothy, let not women be slanderers. Now it says it to women in that scripture alone, just to the women, but it's not just to women. The idea is, woman, don't be like Satan, man. Don't be like the devil. You don't understand what you're doing. It is like Satan. You're living like the devil. You slander people. You're busybodies. Who cares what? Peter is a grown man. He's a grown dude. You guys have your life. It's not that I should know everything. What happened? What did he say to you, Aaron? Oh, I got it. And I feel like weird because someone didn't talk to me about something. Now that's how you guys act with your friends, right? Well, I don't know why she's not talking to me. I don't know why. Usually guys just go, whoa. We don't even know. We don't even know what's going on. But usually girls, man, they're so emotional. It's like, why isn't she talking to me? Why isn't she... And even guys in the church get that way too. You know? Gosh, I feel left out. I feel left out. I feel like, well, that's your feeling. I don't feel left out. And I don't hang out with Scott. I don't hang out with none of my elder board. So when Dave Robson does a concert somewhere and he doesn't call me up and say, hey, Bo, dude, be there. And I'm just like, oh, God. And I find out through Facebook. I'm like, oh, man. Dude, no one loves me. Dude, what a drag. Right. And then that kind of, because of my emotional lack, right? Because I feel so alone. Now I get within the church and I go, yeah, Dave Robson had a concert. He never called me. What does that do? What does that do? Doesn't it breed something in people? Then it starts. Then I give birth to slandering, little dissension. Right? Causing a little schism. Right? In the body. Right? And we do it amongst our friends all the time. You know, when you're young, you do that all the time. See, we have to, in order to have unity, you have to deal with your personal sin. You got to deal with it. It's not, there's no book that says Dave Robson's got to call Bo every time he has a show. There's no book that says every time Scott Richards goes golfing, he needs to call me. There's not a book that says Katie Collins needs to make sure that Bo, like, knows what's going on or asks to invite him to dinner with him and Ben when they go out. There's nothing like that. And it's absolutely okay if no one does call me. Do you talk about others negatively? Now think about it. Do you talk about other people negatively? When you open up your trap, does another person's name come out of that? And I would say if it does, it better be Jesus. if it's going to be, if you're thinking on saying something in just a negative tone. It's one thing to say, man, dude, I'm so blessed by, you know, blah, 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 Aaron, Tom, whatever. But right when you, man, right when you throw out a name and you just, you kind of put it under that negative place, you are acting not like God. And that's serious. That is serious. You tear people down and you trample them through our words. Do you talk negatively? Think about your talk. Are you critical towards others? Oh man, that girl, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe this. She's going to do this. Blah, 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 blah. I can't believe that. Da, 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 da. And through those things, through your conversation of being critical to others, we tend to push them away from being a part of a unified group. We push people away. Do people struggle with sin in this room? Yes. If I were to go over into the other room right now and I were to have share a message with your parents, you know, there's a lot of messages I've shared over there about sin. And if I sat down your parents and I talked to them about sinful things, I guarantee there's going to be a lot of sin in the camp, meaning there's going to be a lot of sin in their life. But it certainly doesn't mean that I should speak negatively or be critical about that, per se, because guess who else has sin in his life? Me. See me? I do. See, and for those that are critical of others, the reason why they're critical is because they can't see their own what? They can't see their own faults. Or they don't want to see them. You know what I mean? They don't want to see them. So the only way they can stop not seeing their own wretchedness is through critiquing other people. She shouldn't be doing that. I don't think that's right. Blah, 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 blah. Until you get people to a place where they just go, you know, I'm trying to grow in my walk with God. I'm trying to draw close to Jesus and have Jesus change my life. But every time I go to the group, someone's on me, man. Someone's just, you know, it's like the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I hated Christians for that. I just absolutely hated them because it just bugged me tremendously to be around these Christians that would just attack me and attack me over and over again. Take out the nose ring. Cut your hair. Why do you go to those things? Blah, 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 blah. Just drove me insane. It made me just want to go, you know what? Man, you guys bug me, man. Get away, please. You know, I guess I'm not like worthy to hang with you guys. You're so holy, all of you. Heaven forbid you hang out with someone like me. And that's the way I feel. It's like, are you that holy? Really? Are you guys really that holy? Man, if you guys knew God at all, you would understand that there's a wretched idolatry that is welting up in you in the self-righteous attitude that is just yuck. And I hope you guys see that. I know I'm passionate about it because I feel it. I felt it. I have felt it. For 3 years, I didn't go to church. For 3 years. And it wasn't because I didn't love the word. It's because I didn't love you. It's because I didn't know how to love people that were so judgmental of people. It just blew me away how evil people in the church were. And what's crazy is if you don't think I'm right, You try talking to your friends that are secular friends about Jesus Christ, and you're going to see their number one attack against Jesus Christ is what?
Christians.
That's right. It's going to be the Christian people. I was hanging out with this Christian. He said blah, 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 blah. He blah, 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 blah. He got on me for da, 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 da. It's like we don't know. It's like Christians just have no idea how to love. Agape love. Jesus hung out with prostitutes and whores, man. Whores. Do you get that? Whores. Hollywood and Vine whores. Jesus Christ hung out with. And he did fine. And that was God in human flesh. And yet we criticize for just, man, all kinds of crazy things that aren't even that level. Just blows me away. Our heart, my heart's got to be for the glory of God. If I want to be in unity within this group, I want to have a heart for the glory of God. If my heart is for the glory of God, and I'm really concerned about God, then I'm going to be concerned about you guys and your unity and our unity together. Does that make sense? Because God is a unity, and I want to reflect God, and I want the student ministry to reflect God, and I want the big church to reflect God. So unity is going to be an important part of everything. So I'm not going to want to be backbiting. I'm not going to want to be critical. I'm not going to want to be pounding, you know, every time I see you guys just hammering on you, you know, and just like, man, dude, Daniel, why are you doing that? Or blah, 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 you know. Some churches would, it's a crazy. Some churches, if you're not at church every Sunday, they're, you know, pretty soon they're going to have someone calling you and saying, hey, where are you? Could you imagine that, Daniel, if I called you every week and I said, hey, Daniel, where are you, dude? You weren't at church Sunday. And you said, well, dude, I had this like trip. I was with my band camp and we were blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, dude, you know, church is more important. That happens all the time. Right? Instead of saying, Daniel, man, praise God that you play an instrument, dude. Instruments are from the Lord, dude. When he created the world, he sang. And, man, that's awesome. God gave you a gift, dude. We'd love to see you more, but, man, right on. God, you know, we're just praying for you and blah, blah, blah. You know, then you go, man, cool, right on. God's in my life, cool. God's doing a work, right on. The other way, it's like, God, I feel like junk. Maybe I don't really know God. Maybe I don't really know God. Do you see how it can just mess up people? There are seven things the Lord hates. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven things are an abomination to God. Proverbs 6:16-19. Go there, guys. I've been reading you a lot of scripture. Now I want you guys to look. Proverbs 6:16-19. It's only 10:15. So if you have to get up and stretch real quick, you certainly can. Are you guys grooving with me this morning? You guys getting this? Good. Look at Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and the one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you read that? A proud look causes disunity, right? Thinking that you're better than someone else. We already talked about that. We're all one in Jesus Christ. We all need the Lord, right? A lying tongue. Someone who says something about someone who doesn't. It's a lie. This is important for you guys to know. Do not listen to anything that is not first-hand information. Did you get that? Do not listen to anything that is not first-hand information. If someone comes up to you and says, this is what Caitlin said, just look at the person and just go, and let it go in one ear and out the other ear. Meaning you, that's not what Caitlin said. In your brain go, that's not what Caitlin said. Because is it first-hand information? Did you get it from Caitlin? No, you got it from someone else who told you what Caitlin said. Any second-hand information, do not go off of. Do not in a group. Does that make sense? Can you guys repeat that? Do not... Do not go off of any second-hand information. Okay? Second-hand information. You guys with me there? Don't go off of any second-hand... Don't make a decision based off of second-hand information. Okay? Gets you in trouble. Causes disunity. Second-hand information, bad. Okay, first-hand information. If I went off of second-hand information, guys, my week would be very busy. With all the people in this church that talk to me about stuff, my blah, 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 this, my blah, 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 that, my husband, da, 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 my wife, blah, 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 blah. All I can say at those things is great, great, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. But what about you? You. That's what I do as a minister. Great, your husband's a jerk. Let's talk about you. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter. I mean, what can I say? It's secondhand info. Am I in their house? Do I know what goes on? No. So is it empirical evidence, scientist people? Is it part of the scientific method? Is it testable, repeatable? Is it something I've seen? No, it's not something I've seen. Right? It's something I'm basing it off of someone's presupposition as they come into my office and they... Say something. I can't go off of that. I have to go off of what their heart's like. What's your heart like? Tell me about you. Okay? Secondhand information. Okay, it's tough. A lying tongue, but that's a good principle. Hands that shed innocent blood, right? Now, I don't want to think you guys are murdering people. But what I do, what this means is this. If you know, when you speak ill against someone, or you criticize them, or you're negative against them, then what it is you take someone who's innocent, that could be innocent. They could be. They could not be, but I'm saying that they could be innocent, and yet you have already judged them. And that's not a good thing. You shed innocent blood. Okay? You don't want to be quick to presume someone is guilty when you don't know the facts. Okay? Feet. Or a heart that devises wicked plans, meaning in our hearts we already think ill towards someone, so we start kind of festering this evil, or maybe we're feeling alone, like I said before, and because we feel alone, we feel like people don't call us, because people don't call us, we think that no one likes us, and we think that no one likes us, now we talk about those people to other people. That's bad. False witness who speaks lies, just someone who just makes stuff up. And the one who sows discord among the brethren. One who sows discord, meaning there's act, you know, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you talk about people sows a schism in the body. Now those things are important, and because it says there are six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him. So obviously God ain't in this too much, and if God's not in it that much, then probably we shouldn't be either. So let's flip to the next slide. Okay, you can pause this video. It was a little rap video about Ephesians 4. Yeah, it was cool. This guy, I don't know if it'll play or not. On our system, it probably won't. You know how it does? It does the buffer thing. You know, yeah, it probably won't. But God's heart for us is unity, and I have some homework for you guys. I never give you guys homework. I never do. But I want you to do this. And I want you to tell the people that aren't here. Zach, you got a couple sisters that aren't here. I want you to give them this, and hopefully they'll do it. Okay? I want you to take Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, just Ephesians chapter 4. and I want you to write me just a paragraph about that chapter. Okay, that's it. Ephesians 4, Sam, you think you could do that? I mean, it's going to be quick. You get in the Word, read through it, remember some of the things we talked about. And then next week we're going to actually do, Katie's familiar with this game that we want to do. But next Sunday we're going to come in here and we're going to do this kind of human game thing. And it's going to help us, in a sense, just with our togetherness and unity as a group. And yeah, Zach. It doesn't matter, dude. I don't care.
A paragraph is 4 to 5 sentences.
Yeah, I don't care how many. I mean, doesn't matter, man. Whatever's on your heart, I want you guys to write about. That's it. You know. Now, the reason why I want to go over this is because, again, we're at a place in 2 Samuel where King David, his life is disarray, and it's at total disunity. And I want you to see that what happens in King David's life just happens, can happen in all of our lives. And it can happen within a body of Christ too. And I'm so blessed by our unity in so many ways within the group. It's a blessing to me. You know, you guys love each other and I love that. There's so much love that happens. Some people in the group might feel like they're not a part of the other group. That's okay. Not everybody's a part of my group. I hope you're okay with that. It doesn't mean every time you hang out, like Caitlin, every time you're hanging out with your friends, you got to call me up and go, Bo, hey, dude, you want to hang out with us? And I'm like, oh, man. It's fine, man. There's certain people that you just like to hang out with, right? Isn't that true? There's certain people you feel comfortable with. For some reason, it just rubs right. You know what I mean? And that's okay. But to be hurt because, Zach, you don't call me, or Aaron, you don't let me hang out with you every time after a service or something like that, guys, that's not a problem with Zach. That's not a problem with Aaron. Guess who that's a problem with? You. Now, if you went up to, now say, Caitlin, you go up to Zach and you say, hey, Zach, dude, I want to hang out with you after the service. You guys are going out. Is it okay? And they go, hey, yeah, we got room, blah, blah, blah. But if they go, oh, you know what? We got room, but no. No, we don't like you. Then that's a bummer. Then that's a problem. You know what I mean? What? Yeah, but then the area of sin is on that group. Right? Absolutely. But you see how it works? But if people are just hanging out because they hang out, it's like, you know, I have certain friends that I just hang out with. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's like Jesus hung out with 12 people. 12. And one of them was filled with Satan at one point. Pretty crazy, right? I mean, were the people just like, man, dude, Jesus isn't really God because, man, he doesn't call me. You know, dude, he hangs out with his crew and, you know, they have even the inner circle, you know, Jesus, James, and John, and Peter. They kind of even break away from the main group to hang out a little bit. And the other ones are all like, man, dude, I guess you don't like me no more. No. Jesus realized, even within his group, that he had kinship. An even deeper kinship with certain people within the group. And that's going to happen. Summer, I don't know if I'll ever hang out with you, buddy, buddy. You know what I mean? Maybe, but maybe not. Right now, it's not how it is. Does that make sense? But I still care for you deeply. Right? I have no ill feelings towards you at all. And when you go hang out with your friends, whether it's the Ellis girls or Caitlin, I don't feel bad when you don't invite me. Does that mean I don't feel bad? You know what I mean? Because I care for you, and I go, you know what? You are hanging out with friends, and you know what that is what? Good! Yay! So I love you because I love you. I go, yay! She's got friends. But if my heart was bitter and I wasn't complete in Jesus and I wasn't in love with Jesus and Jesus wasn't enough for me, then I'd be like, oh my gosh, they don't call me. Why doesn't Summer call me? Sylvia, you know, Summer never calls me. You know, I text her, she doesn't get back with me. You know, it shows something faulty in me again, right? That I'm not complete in God. It's not your fault. Because you have friends. And they're close friends like Peter, James, and John. And that's okay. And all of you have a Peter, James, and John that you guys hang out with within this group. And that doesn't give any of us license to look at that Peter, James, and John and say, hey, I'm not part of that Peter, James, and John. You know, I should be part of that. Right? So you're bummed. Ooh, that's a problem with you. Hopefully you guys are starting to see how this stuff all applies to our group. You know what I mean? Love, man. If you want to hang out with someone, go to them and say, hey, let's hang out. And I'm sure people in this group will be like, right on. If they got the car space and everything like that and they could take you, great. Some people live on the east side. Some people live on the north side. Some people live on this side. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes you can't go just simply because what? Because someone's going to the east side and then they can't take you back to the north side or something like that. So, hey, let's learn to love one another. So next week we're going to talk a little more about unity, but mainly we're going to work on some of this game stuff too and just have a little fun time together and get close and stuff like that. It'll be fun. We're going to rub each other. It'll be cool. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the study today. Thank you so much for this group and what you're doing in it. Lord, we want to pray for those that aren't here. Father, what an important message for them to miss. And Lord, we thank you that Lord Tom brought in this computer so we can record the messages now. And thank you so much for that. We pray that maybe we could get this in their hands and just let them hear. I know my heart and the other leaders, I know they share the same vision, Lord. Their hearts too for the students. Lord, may you be glorified in this group. May you be honored and cherished. And we ask that you do great things through us. And we know it's only going to be as we love you first and then we love one another. So do that work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right on. No problem.